Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Lord Onyx, and all the hosts 7 nights a week for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics right here on Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Soapbox Witch with Onyx. You had a choice and you chose to spend your time here. Thank you for joining me on this magical journey of thought seed farming and music.
And good evening, everybody. This is Onyx. It is April 29th, a Wednesday night. It's 10 p.m. So that means you're here with me. And like I said in the intro, I want to thank you for being here. I know that you had a choice and you chose to spend time with me. Tonight we've got a very special guest, and his name is John Springer. Many know him and know a lot of his work. Those of you who don't know him, I'm going to give you a little rundown on just a part of what he does. He just got reelected to another 3-year term as the elected triad of the Carbon Forestry Council's executive board in January. He's the vision for the Fairy and Earth Festival in North Carolina. He was the Master of Angel, Festival of Angels Expo outside of Portland, Oregon this month. He's the facilitator of Enchanted Nature Walkabouts and several Elf or Enchanted Living Forest schools in Washington, North Carolina, and Pennsylvania. He's the appointed international director of the Alliance for Spiritual Ecology, and he's known as Papa Smurf for the Girl Scouts in the Citrus Council in Central Florida area. He's currently he's working with 3 Girl Scout councils in Florida and North Carolina. His undergraduate degree is in landscape architecture with a minor in forestry. His master's is in environmental education. He's got 30 years in the Boy Scouts and earning besides Eagle, God Country badges, the William T. Hornaday Distinguished Service to Conservation in 1964. And it goes on and on and on. This man has done for the community, several different communities, just boggles the mind. And I am extremely honored to have him with us tonight. So I want to thank each and every one of you who are listening, whether you're listening live or in the archives. If you're listening in the live, but you're listening off-site from Blog Talk Radio, remember that you can go to blogtalkradio.com/SURN. And you can get into the chat room where questions for John or anything, you can post them there, and I can forward them on the take a swing at it. But as people are filtering in, let me go ahead and bring John on. If you have not speak, you're in for. And if my deck is working right, John, you're live now. Are you with us, sir?
Yes, I am. I'm with you.
I want to thank you very much for taking time out of your extremely busy schedule and spending time with us here tonight. It's truly an honor to have you here at the Soapbox Witch.
Thank you. I really appreciate the opportunity to speak to your audience.
You've got so many irons in the fire. How do you have time to breathe these days, John? I know that you've got something coming up very, very, you know, very soon here in our local area, which is one of the things I like in Flat Rock, Korean Earth Festival. And I would not do it justice if I explained what was going on there. Would you be so kind, please?
Yes, this is our second Fairy and Earth Festival in this location in the last 2 years. Our first two festivals were in St. Petersburg, Florida, a place called Sacred Lands. And then after being invited to be a part of the True Nature Country Fair several years ago, I just fell in love with the site of the Highland Lake Cove Retreat Center because of their amphitheater, and they had several staging areas, and they were in a waterfront property, and it was level for vendors, and I just could immediately see it as a place for a fairy and earth festival. So I talked to the owner about it, and he said, "Look, if you think you can do it, go for it," and I did. And last year we had about 700 people there. 400 of them were children, 100 of them under the age of five. And what was amazing is that the two key words that people felt when they stepped onto the property was enchanting and spiritual. And it fits so well with our premise and what we're trying to get across, because, and that's what, a key word that's come up in the previous festivals is the energy of being spiritual. And I just relish that because we really come from the heart. We do a special exercise with everyone before we even open the gates. And I tell them, I said, it's from the light of your heart that will bring the people here, not your head, not your ego. It's the light of your heart. And last year they saw fairies everywhere. Everybody was seeing them, feeling them, and everything else. And we're bringing back a lot of the people that helped create that energy. Marta Martin does fairy dancing. She worked. She's connected with the Asheville dance movement. We also have Demera there doing dances, universal peace. We have several crystal bowl practitioners from Florida, Virginia, and North Carolina being a part of it. This year we're focusing on more of an instrumental music with drumming, flute, didgeridoo, crystal bowls, and creating those sounds throughout the event. The only singing that will be the music lady, Sandra, that's going to be working with the under five group. And she's so noted in working with the kids. But we have several storytellers. We have Wizard, the sorcerer, which is Rock Eblen. He'll be there on Saturday. And we also have Alina with her fairy, they're called Fairy Kin. They're stilt walkers, and they were a part of our festival last year, and they'll be there on Sunday. And then in between all that, we have Dr. Momento from Virginia that will be with his Chinese dragon. He's also a performer and a magician and quite a few other interesting talents. Now, something that's really special is that last year we gave out a patch to the Girl Scouts. We gifted the Girl Scouts a booth to be there. And if you read anything into the Girl Scouts itself, you'll see that the brownies were named after the house fairies in England. So they already have a fairy connection. So when they came and registered at their booth, they got a patch called the Magical Fairy Adventure Patch. And we have a patch that fairy is spelled differently this year, which they can receive if they register at their booth.
That sounds, I mean, wonderful, wonderful, well-packed, highly packed and weekend.
There's so much more. Oh, my God.
I'm sure. Members of our group are going to be there on Saturday to lend our hand there. And for those of you here listeners that know these people, Steve's going to be down there with Fever Dreams as a vendor, and from Tea House of the Goddess, Mama Gnome's going to be there too.
Exactly.
So, you know, friends and kith and kin out there to support this, because it's going to be a wonderful, wonderful weekend. We're only going to be able to get down there for one day and not being able to stay for the whole weekend.
It's a very reasonable admission. It's only $10. It's for adults and $5 for kids, 5 to 15, and under 5 it's free. And it's last year we literally had to ask people to leave. because they didn't want to leave. They came at the beginning and they said, I don't want to leave. And I said, either you help us clean up or you just got to leave. And that this has happened on for many of my events. People will just want to hang around forever because the energy is so different from what we create there. And people just feel so comfortable and feel like it's home for so many people. Now, we got this year, I have to tell you, last year we had 5 food vendors, was all under one tent. This year we got much more. We got a lot of vendors, food vendors that are gluten free and they're food conscious about what they're going to serve people, which is really fabulous to have that.
Oh yeah, I agree with that. No matter what your dietary restrictions are, I've been where, you know, if you have certain dietary things that you're looking out for, trying to channel into, you know, you pretty much better bring your own because the vendors there, a lot of times the vendors are more like fair fest in some of the festivals that I've
exactly.
been to. And what you're talking about here, you know, they're conscious about what they're vending, and this is fabulous. I would like to see a lot more festivals go that direction. Because we do, you know, we do have a lot of people in the communities that have that kind of focus in their dietary in their dietary manner. So, you know, the more inclusive in that area we can be, absolutely beautiful, absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, it really makes a difference for everybody, and also increases the comfort level for people too. And so I'm just really pleased of the ones that have decided to join us this year and be a part of the team, which I call them, because that's such an integral part of an overall experience. We try to give an overall experience, not just come to a festival and see a bunch of vendors, maybe a bit of singing here and there. We do interactive. We try to create interactive things. I mean, I got a couple ladies there that are mermaids that are going to be showing kids and people about hula hoops. And then I got Steve O'Neill with Earthshine Nature that's going to bring his snakes and mammals for people, kids, to have hands-on experiences with them. He said it was the best event he had ever attended and participated in. And he gifts his time and energy just to be at our event. So, you know, that in itself is just amazing. And then I have Nancy Baumgartner with Profound Awareness that last year I coerced into being there because she works with Indigo Crystal Psychic and Rainbow Children and has a camp, a special camp called the Intuitive Arts Camp. And she came, and the teenagers really learned a lot about pendulums and dowsing rods and energy. And many of them asked, is she coming back? So she is indeed going to be a part of our team this year. We're just so thrilled to have her.
Now, you on, and I just so everybody is aware of what we're talking about here, would you go into a little bit of what we're talking about when we're talking about Indigo and Crystal and Rainbow Children?
These are very intuitive children that sometimes do not get acknowledged for their gifts. Many times their parents have turned off their, might say, psychic connections, and they don't know how to handle these very intuitive children. I remember at one of my healing retreats many years ago in the early 90s, I remember this 8-year-old child turning to her mother and saying, "Mother, when I reach double digits, I have to become human." And that's usually about the time the hormones kick in, unless they're confirmed and assured and validated. And that's the idea of what the Crystal and Rainbow and Indigo children, a lot of times they don't get validated. That's why I enjoyed working with the Girl Scouts, because I get a chance to sort of like teach them a lot about, in a sort of a subtle way about talking to everything, talking to the flowers to release more fragrance, talking to the wind, setting up etheric domes to protect the property. And they're doing this because they know it works. And so they're very in tune. And also, too, I give them all types of validation and confirmation of their talents and gifts. And that's what Nancy has been doing with the energy work that she's been doing. Her daughter's very intuitive. And that's how she really got involved with all this.
It's fabulous that we've got, you know, we've got programmed up people working with these children. Validation, I agree with you, is a very important aspect of that, for them to be able to continue being the way they are born. And then if we don't validate them, I don't know if we don't validate them, then they become human because everything starts to shut down. One thing that you mentioned in that little talk, you mentioned talking to everything, and this is something that's for years. So I'd like to hear your thoughts on the concept of talking to everything, all this stuff. Can you give us your soapbox on that, if you would?
Well, actually, yes. In this exercise that I talk about, called the heart connection. It's actually, and the reason I'm bringing this up is through this point, we truly can communicate with everything, seen and unseen. And it's simply put your hand up around your thymus area, which is that depression at the base of your neck. I call it cupping the thymus. And have people take 5 long deep breaths. And usually by the 5th breath, you'll feel a warming sensation between your hand and your heart. And it's through this point, we can truly communicate with everything. And in our elf schools, our enchanted living forest schools, I teach people how to communicate with flowers. First, you smell the flower, like camellias and azaleas and daylilies. They're all pretty stubborn flowers. And so you smell them. You usually don't smell anything. You do the heart connection. You talk to the flowers. You tell them how beautiful they are, how wonderful they are, and then ask them to release more fragrance. And usually 9 times out of 10, they will. When I work with young people, to get them to remember the movie E.T., most young people have seen E.T. E.T. had a heart light. When his heart light diminished, all of nature diminished around him. So I tell them, never let the heart light your heart light diminish. And also, too, I recall my friend's 3-year-old daughter telling her mom, "Mom, people are not hearing the new language of the earth." And she goes, "What are you talking about?" She said, "The trees are talking, the plants are talking, the flowers are talking, the birds are talking. Everything is talking. No one is listening." And so this is what the part of the programming is about, and that's what a lot of what we do with the Variant Earth Festival is, get them to see and feel and experience nature all around them in a whole different way. I mean, even during our festival, we have several people that are doing walks, fairy walks, nature walks, medicinal herbal walks. And by the way, the proceeds for the Variant Earth Festival go to the Center for Honeybee Research in Asheville, North Carolina.
Fabulous.
And so that's just having that awareness and connection to the bees, and the importance of that. And it's, again, is working with that oneness with everything, because we are so separated from the natural worlds. You know, and I don't know how many people that of your audience have stresses and pains in their body, and most people do, but here's the key to that, is to find you a tree and go to the tree of your choice. It could be a tree from childhood, it could be a tree in your yard, it could be a tree in your neighborhood, and become friends with the tree. And ask that tree, you talk to it, you thank it for the air that it provides and the home for the squirrels and shelter and shade and everything, you compliment as much as you can. And then you ask it, "Please take this pain and stress from my body," and then you lean up against the tree or sit next to the tree. And chances are the tree will take all your pain and stress away. And once you establish a relationship with that tree, no matter where you're at in the world, you can connect into that tree, and the tree will take your pain away.
That's fabulous. And it's all about connectivity. It's all about
oneness. It's all about connectivity. Absolutely correct.
And I think that's, you mentioned that the proceeds, go for the honeybee.
Center for Honeybee Research.
Yeah, the center. But I tagged in on honeybees because that's one of the things that I believe most people don't know important, how cornerstone the survival of the bees are for the entire ecosystem, all the different ecosystems that they survive in.
Without the bees, we would not have food.
Absolutely. Right. Yeah, because the crops don't, you know, move the pollen very well.
And part of our team, one of our team members, Roger Bass, is the beekeeper for the Highland Cove Bee Sanctuary. He was part of our team last year. And he also does tours and educational programs during the festival about honeybees and the importance of their role in the entire ecosystem. And education is the key, and that's one of our mainstays, is that not only do we entertain people, but we educate people. We educate and then also get into the fun of it. My thesis on my master's was learning can be fun. And that's wonderful. The best way you can learn is when you're having fun doing it.
Oh, I would agree with you. I absolutely agree with you. I don't have a in education, but I've worked in different areas, educating and training. And that's something that I've found it works. It absolutely works. If you can have fun, then more things get in, and fewer things start sinking in and clicking when you're hands on, you're having with whatever right. Whatever the topic happens to be. If you can enjoy it, if you can make it fun,
absolutely, yeah, makes a huge difference.
And we have a let's see. Pardon me. We have a question from Afterfoe in the chat room, and I'm just going to read it off to you if you don't mind here. Let's see. Afterfoe writes, I get the feeling that there is a need, or I'm not sure what the word he's trying to urge from people not to connect with nature, that there is a knee-jerk reaction to hinder people who connect with nature. What do you think that would be?
Okay, you have to repeat the question. You faded out on me.
I apologize. He writes, I get the is a need or urging from people not to connect with nature, that there is a need to hinder people who connect with nature. What do you think that would be?
What I think that would hinder people from connecting with nature is probably electronics, iPads, iPhones. Computers, cell phones. It's amazing how many times we see people on the trail and they're talking on their cell phone or looking at their iPad. That's what I like about the Girl Scouts. They ban all that. And they force them
to go ahead, really I'm sorry. Connect.
Yeah, they force them to really connect. I took out 42 senior girls out on a moonlight ferry walk several years ago, and it was a full moon, and of course in Florida, that's where I live, by the way, our roadways are white sand, and I would stop them, and they're banned, all the electronics are banned at the camp, and I would stop them, and I say, what do you see, what do you feel, what do you smell, what do you hear? Every few hundred feet I did this, and it took about an hour and a half just to walk in this path. And they saw and felt and heard things and smelled things they never experienced before, and yet this was the road to their camp. And they did, and I gave them two requirements, no flashlights and be quiet. And being quiet was the challenge, especially when I'm working with 42 girls, senior girls, because they would never shut up. And they would miss out everything that was going on around them. They saw fairies, fireflies, heard streams, heard gators, heard turtles, heard frogs. They'd never heard it before. And yet this was the last day in camp. So people do not shut up enough to pay attention, to focus on the subtle sounds. I mean, there's some plants here in Florida that sing every time it rains. And once you start tuning in, you can hear the songs. And it's amazing. People are so disconnected in our connection to nature. And people say, well, I walk in nature all the time. Walking through it is one thing, but do you connect to it? I Years ago, I was a speaker for the League of Environmental Educators, and I was invited to present, and I didn't know how to tell the director what I did because he was a principal of a Christian high school in Lakeland. And I sort of danced around the issue of what I do, and he goes, well, we got people do awareness walks, it's got people do observation walks, and the little voice in my ear kept saying, just tell them. So I told him, I point out fairy thrones, dragons, fairy doors, gnome homes, paces in the trees, and other things. And there was silence on the line. He comes back and he goes, we've been looking for you. And I went, and how do you mean by that? He goes, we've been looking for someone that uses creativity and imagination into the science of nature. We're losing teachers and students because they've lost their joy connection to nature. So originally he had me do 7 walks in 4 days. I emailed him back and I said, I want to be alive by the end of the weekend. But I still did 4 walks, walked with 80 teachers. I put these teachers between trees that they could not touch, put their one hand out the one tree, one out the other, and they could feel their hands pulsating or tingling or getting hot. They could feel the energies of the trees going through them. I had them put their hands through Merlin's eyes, which is where the limbs come back onto themselves, create portals. They could see the hair on their arms going straight up. And the most common statement I heard from more than 50% of the teachers was that they realized they were only teaching the science of nature, but not how to connect to nature.
Absolutely.
And one teacher said she never felt a oneness to anything before until she walked with me.
That's just amazing. It's amazing. A couple of things, kind of an interjection type, and then we're going to cut to a break here. One of the things concerned my partner in crime, Terry Power, have, one of the things that we try to hammer home to people here is, you know, people are all full of questions. The answers are there. All you need to do is sit down, shut up, and listen.
Correct.
Connectedness there. Another thing that, you know, you were talking about the cell phones and everything. People who know me here locally have heard me say this several times before. We'll be out, if we're out in a public environment, and we look around and we see 9/10 of the people are walking around texting on their cell phones or on their cell phones. They say, hey, look, the zombie apocalypse happened, and they don't even realize it.
That's right.
So, you know, it's kind of a cheap joke there, but it's not really that far from the truth. So, John, if you would hang on for me, I'm going to play a song. I thought that I would, if you, guard the bar, the song, The Hills, They Are Hollow. Are you familiar?
What was that again?
The Hills, They Are Hollow.
Yes.
I'm going to play that song. We'll spin that one up and then we're going to do our nightly peace prayer. And then we'll do a little station business. All right. I really appreciate you being here with us. And for those of you listening, we'll be back on the other end after the break in the business. Thank you all for tuning in. We're having a wonderful time here with John Springer. Hills, They Are Hollow.
the hillsides above. Stern abbess of man so proud, and the long man opens wide the gates of his world and invites you to step inside. And the hills, they are hollow and home to the bay, who dance on Midsummer's Eve. Some people don't understand when I say these are the things I believe. These are the things I believe. There is an old circle of stone that stands on the moor. Every moss-covered face tells the secrets of ancient lore. The torch stand as guardian, witnesses to the right, to nature's gods of darkness and of light. And the hills, they are hollow and home to the fae who dance on Midsummer's Eve. Some people don't understand when I say these are the things I believe. These are the things I believe.
There is one power in the universe, and I am a perfect manifestation of that power. And as such, I pray for peace. I pray for love. I pray for stability. I pray for the nation where I live. I pray for the world. By my will, so mote it be. And it is so. You are listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, where we believe that all manifestations of the divine are valid. You had a choice, and you chose to spend time with us. Join us nightly at 10 p.m. Eastern Time for a wide variety of programming. If you miss one of our shows, there are plenty of places to catch up. Every show is archived at www.blogtalkradio.com/CERN. Look for the on-demand shows. They are available as a free podcast download on iTunes and now available free on the TuneIn Radio application and website. Follow us on Twitter at SURN_ORG and on Facebook. Each of our shows has a Facebook presence so that you can keep abreast with what is going on. If you have any moans, groans, gripes, bitches, complaints, or compliments, you may send those to the station management by emailing surn.org@gmail.com. On Thursday nights, Onyx and Terry discuss questions that have been sent in by you, the listeners. If you have a question you want them to discuss, please send it to the station's email address. If you'd like credit for the question, please let us know in the email. For more information about our network, please click over to www.spiritualunityradionetwork.org. Your support is greatly appreciated, and we humbly thank you for that.
You're listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Thanks for sticking around. And now, back to the show.
And we're back. That was Dark the Barn with the Hills there. Then we had our nightly peace prayer, the station business, and we're back at the Soapbox, which I am Onyx. We are joined tonight. Wonderful, wonderful gentleman, very active in the community. Springer, if you're just tuning in, I see a few of you just came in here. If you did not hear the first half of the show, please continue to listen now and then go back into the archives. The archives can be found right here on blogtalkradio.com/CERN on demand episodes. You can also find the archives as a free podcast download on iTunes. You can go to the TuneIn Radio app or website and you can get those there. For those of you who are on Facebook events that are posted after the shows have aired, if you will click on the play on the Facebook event, it will play that episode. You don't have to go there. Really easy to just go back and listen to all the things that John has to say. I want to welcome all of you who tuned in late, and thank you for coming in. And those of you who are listening in the archives, so much. I'm going to bring John back on with us, and we're going to continue down this road. John, are you back with us, sir?
Yes, I am.
Okay, great. Well, before right during the break, John, we had we were talking about the connectivity and all that. We talked about the tuning out. One of our people in the chat room asked, "Why do you think that people are tuning out? Is it out of a fear of the unknown? What do you think that it is?"
Is a good point. A lot of people, I just view everybody from Missouri, and Missouri is the show me state. And I love taking people out on a walk there from, or just, you got to, prove it to me type thing. And they want to be more pragmatic. They're getting it scientific. It's like, prove it to me. And if I can't see it, how do I know it's real? Well, I said, do you believe in God? Yes. Do you see God? No. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? Yes. Do you see the Holy Spirit? No. Do you believe in the wind? Yes. Do you see the wind? No. So what's the question? And so it's all a matter of perspective and intention. It really makes the difference with that. And I find that people just don't know how to connect. There's no, just recently, Kim Wellborn did a TELUS summit called the Guardians of Nature Spirits, or the Spirits of Nature, and I was very honored to be a part of that. And people had an opportunity to share different exercises and helping people get reconnected, and which is something that is, we just don't find, might say, the how-to book. And for me, I've never really read anybody else's material. I let nature tell me how to make the connections, and I gave myself permission to remember my divine wisdom. And I also gave myself permission to use more than 10% of my brain. And just doing that really opened up a lot of doors in itself. And so I want to share something in reference to my walks, which is quite evident of things, to get people to sort of like wake up and realize everything. It's like what the three-year-old said, everything is talking, no one is listening. And the three things I tell people before we walk, do we do anything, is you see a leaf wave at you, wave back. Chances are the leaf will stop waving. And the second thing is, if you see a spinning leaf, you can talk to it. You can get it speed up, slow down, change directions, or stop. And it'll do everything you ask it to do. And the third thing is, if the pixies are around and they really like you, they'll put rocks, leaves, or dirt in your shoes or untie your shoelaces. Now, years ago, I was working with the Gateway Council of the Girl Scouts up in Jacksonville, Florida, and I had one Girl Scout say, well, I'll show those pixies, and she double-tied her shoelaces. And as we're standing there talking, 140 girls and leaders in this huge circle, we watched her shoelaces come undone. And needless to say, she freaked out. And I explained, I said, just because you cannot see them does not mean they do not exist. Another great example is when I was the director of the Enchanted Children's Garden in Lake County, and I had two ladies. They had identical cameras, and one lady was always in her head, and she was always asking why this and why that, and I always declared she would have books for breakfast, because she was always reading everything and going to all these workshops and everything else. So when it came time to, and we were in the sacred circle, and I directed them to focus in on this field that had trees and shrubs and grasses and lots of orbs and fairies. And they took the photograph at the same time. This was at night. And sure enough, in the photograph, the lady that was always in her heart had orbs and fairies everywhere, whereas the lady that had books for breakfast had nothing. It didn't have an orb or a fairy, nothing, just grass, trees, and shrubs. And of course, her comment was, why? And I said, that's the reason, because you always ask why. You are not coming from your heart. And once you come from your heart, everything will open up for you. And that's why the heart connection, which I talked about earlier, really does make a huge difference in that connectiveness to all of nature. Because everything is waiting for us. In fact, in 2000, the fairy realm came to me, as well as many others around the world, and said, we need to wake up more humans to their role as stewards of this planet. We have been doing your job. Now it's time for you to get back on track and help us maintain and connect with the elements of the earth, and which we have failed miserably. And I did a program called a Lunch and Learn program, and there was 40 activity directors of assisted living communities. And the revelation was that I touched a tree and said, this tree is a creation of God. And that statement was just remarkable to these people. They said, oh, my God. Because what the Bible reads is that only man is created in God's image, not trees, not shrubs, not birds, nothing, none of that. And it was such a revelation for her that they want me to speak at their annual conference and everything else because I got them to feel and see the world differently. And as people are hungry to see and feel the world differently, and they just don't know how to do it.
So education is the key.
Education is the key, and it's also the belief system is the key. Mm-hmm. Just because you cannot physically touch it. I had a situation years ago where some diva lights showed up in my yard in Gainesville, Florida. There was teeny tiny little lights, and there was one in the grass, and I tried to touch it, and I could not touch it. And as I'm looking at it, all of a sudden it just starts multiplying and it goes across the yard and then up the trees. And I went, oh, my gosh, I really am freaking out here. And I call my lady friend out and I said, tell me what you see. And she saw the same thing. She goes, what is it? And I said, I have no idea, but it is putting on a show for us. And sure enough, it went across the street, went up all the other trees, went into the woods, went up all the trees, all these teeny tiny little lights. And I reached down and I tried to touch the light, and I could not. I could not figure out its source or how it was doing this or who was doing it. But I have a feeling they were doing it to show me there's realms beyond my imagination that are active all the time around us.
That we cannot explain. I mean, just take it from what we know in science. At the visual light spectrum, you know, how much of light we see, and we know that the visual section, the section of the light spectrum that we see is so tiny compared to what's actually there. So why would it not be the same with all the other senses and everything with the five primary senses? Why wouldn't it be the same? Same thing with sound and, you know, sense of smell, everything. You know, all of our senses are so dampened compared to what's actually there. I want to say dampened, very, very small, very slim compared to what's actually there. And we know this from, you know, people looking at it from a scientist. So why would it not be the same with other senses? Why would it not be? Why do we think that we experience the only reality, what we would call reality? That doesn't make sense to me, I guess is what I'm trying to say. It doesn't make sense to me when people will say, well, no, can't be.
Well, they get into denial. I mean, how many Cleopatras are there out there now? Queen of denial. That's it. You got it. And it's amazing how many people are just, you know, and again, it's that factor of wanting to see and feel the world differently. That's why people go to the churches. They're wanting to feel God's love. Whereas, you know, I remember my friend Dub up in Hamilton, Alabama, she said, my sons are getting away from God. I helped her open up her 11 acres to be a teaching and healing center in Native American studies called the Rainbow Bridge Tribe. And she said, my sons are getting away from God. How do I get them in touch? I said, very simple. Have them go out and hug a tree for 20 minutes. She goes, well, how will that help? And I said, by hugging a tree, they're hugging God.
Oh, yeah.
And she said it made a world of difference for them to do that.
They
shouldn't have complained about it for 10 minutes, but they, beyond that, they realized why they had to do that. And that's the problem. We've gotten so disconnected from things. And then here's another odd thing that's come about. I've noticed there's a lot of folks in human form that have been members of the fairy realm in past lives. And I did an elf school several years ago here in Florida, and I had a pixie who was a minister of a spiritual church, a fairy who was a director of an alternative school, a gnome who is a business person, two elves who are elemental photographers, and a troll who is also an elemental photographer.
I think I met a few of those trolls.
Yeah, I tell you, you'll know a troll when you meet him. It's pretty obvious.
I think I dated one once.
Yeah, well, I have too. I know what you mean. And then I had a massage therapist that I saw her, and I went, "Oh my God, you're a tree nymph." And she was tall, slender, had pointed ears, had almond eyes. And she, when I mentioned that to her, she goes, "You know, I always felt like I was a maple tree in my past life." And I looked up her tree, and sure enough, she was a maple tree.
Wow.
And she gave me a massage, and I felt all these pinches on my cheeks. And I went, "I've been to massage school. I don't remember that exercise." And she said, "That was the strangest massage she's ever given." And I said, "How's that?" She said, "The room was filled with rainbow sparkles. They were fairies, and they were kissing you on the cheeks." And so that explains the pinches on my cheeks.
Yeah.
And so and if you think of, and I've run across so many that are like, I remember this young Girl Scout came up to me at day camp, and as soon as I walked in the door, and she goes, "I want you to know that I was a fairy in my past life."
Right.
She looked it. And so we did walkabout. Now, let me tell you about what the walkabout aspect, you know, about the shoelaces. She came in after our walk and said, "I want you to know I got rocks, leaves, and dirt in both my shoes. My shoelaces come undone several times. Why did this happen?" I said, "Because they recognize you." "Oh, okay, no problem." And then she was fine with it.
Just wanted to know what was going on.
Yeah, that's right. I said, "They recognize you. That's all it is."
That's cool.
So it's amazing. I mean, I had to make an agreement with the Pixies because they got a pair of shoes they love, and they my brownies in my office have put in teeny tiny little marbles. I mean, these things are really teeny tiny. I never bought marbles like this. And marbles bring in fairy energy into a garden, by the way, if nobody knew about that. And so, sure enough, they've been putting these teeny tiny little marbles in my shoes, which is quite aggravating. So they play with me all the time. I mean, just in my office, which is a very small space, it's 9 by 9. I must have at least 15 photos, statues, and other things of fairies in here. So I'm not alone, that's for sure. And they know it. And they play with me all the time. And so people, when you come to our festival, you'll begin to feel that energy, that really that sacred energy. That's why people declare it spiritual. I mean, when I did my first two festivals in St. Petersburg, a gentleman endearingly called Peter Pan, he dresses as Peter Pan, he goes to Walmart as Peter Pan, and his name is Randy Constance, and he's been on Conan and quite a few other talk shows around the nation. And he came up to me, he goes, "I've been to all these fairy festivals all over the U.S., and yours is the only one that incorporates spirituality."
That's cool.
I thought that was great.
That is really, really cool.
So all the others involve themselves in the fantasies and the illusions of the fairy realm, where we work with the realities of the fairy realm.
Right. Yeah. I can see that.
Big difference.
I can see that. And we're coming to the top of the hour. Now, we've got plenty of time if you'd like to go into anything else. But before we close the hour, I'd like to go back and focus back on what's happening here. Remind people, John, if you could give them, you know, where this fabulous Fairy and Earth Festival is happening.
Well, let me give you the Facebook page. It'd probably be the best way.
Certainly.
And that's, you know, www.facebook.com, but it's Fairy, F-A-I-R-Y, A-N-A-N-D, Earth, E-A-R-T-H, Festival. Fairy and Earth Festival. And you'll find out about, because I'm going to be posting a whole bunch of new information. I got spotlights at the different performers, everything else. It's in Flat Rock at the Highland Lake Cove Retreat Center. They have a blurb on their website about that. And it is 10 to 6, Saturday and Sunday, May 16th and 17th. It's $10 for adults and $5 for children. It is indeed a family-friendly event. We don't serve any alcohol. We don't have any of that. It is indeed family-friendly. And there's not many family-friendly events around that
especially this
really
time of year.
Encourage it. That's right. Encourage also, too, for the child within to come out and play.
There's a big kid in me, and you're going to have me there working, so I might just have to have fun while I'm working.
That's it. That's the idea.
We're looking forward to it. We're really looking forward to it.
And you'll find me easily because I always wear a fairy shirt.
Oh, yes.
I always sparkle up. I have a white top hat that sometimes has a rabbit in it or sometimes not. And our slogan is just follow the rabbit. We have a banner that's posted on the Highland Cove sign. We're going to have the rabbit tied to trees pointing toward the entranceway. There will be spinning flowers to show you where to find it. We're going to make sure we get signs put up at the interstate and other places to look, just follow the rabbit. It's going to say Faith Festival, the rabbit and an arrow. And the rabbit is my icon through my enchantedwalkabouts.com website. It was a artwork that was created 3 months before the artist met me. And then he saw, which has a top hat, a rabbit wearing a top hat and a walking stick. And he goes, oh, my God, you've already drawn your icon. And it's called Spring's Gift.
That's beautiful. I saw the art. I saw the icons. It's gorgeous. I love it. It's whimsical, but it's got a tinge of seriousness, a tinge of whimsicality. It's just wonderful, and that's on. I saw it on one of your pages. I think is it on the Variant Earth Festival page?
Yep, it's on there too.
Yeah, so
it's on our posters. Yeah, it's on our posters. It's like showing up everywhere. It's beginning to have a life of its own.
So you know, if you guys are in the area. Or within broom distance, or heck, even within vacuum cleaner distance. Come on, May 16th and 17th, you can get that. The directions of where to www.facebook.com/Variant Earth Festival. That's spelled F-A-I-R-Y and Earth Festival. So, like John said, last year you had what 700 people. You said,
yeah, not bad for a first year festival.
Not at all. That's where I was going with that. 700 people at first turnout. Not bad at all. That's a really good showing. And that I have met along the way say that this event is not to be missed. It's a really good entrance price. The proceeds go to a fabulous place, a fabulous resource there. So come out wherever you are, bring the children and the inner child. John, I want to thank you so much, so very much for
thank
being
very
with
much.
Us tonight. It's been an honor. We're getting a lot of thank yous and all in the chat room, and generally these chat room shows about 1/10 of our final listening numbers. We're going to get this out there. I'm going to pump it through all of my channels, and I encourage everyone who is listening to pump it through your channels too. Let's get the kids out.
The best advertising is word of mouth. I'm telling you, it really makes a big difference. Is that word of
absolutely.
Mouth? Really
absolutely.
Makes a world. Yeah.
And we need more festivals like this. We need more inclusivity. We need more connectivity. We need this. So thank you for spearheading this that you've done for the community and that you're doing now and that I'm sure that you'll continue to do for quite a long time.
Yeah, we're thinking about doing a conclave or a retreat next year for the Fairy and Earth in addition to the festival. It's going to be in Northeast Georgia we're looking at. We're in the negotiations now. It's going to be a teaching weekend for those that want to learn more and how to connect and how to feel in a place that can support at least 300 people or more.
That would be wonderful.
So
well, I ask
we'll
you to keep
informed.
Me in your network.
We'll keep keep you informed, absolutely.
That would be great. Check that page out. Check out John. Find out what he's doing. Get involved. We have a general. We have one of our listeners. Real interjection here. We have a. We have someone here who's a regular. Glacies. He's from Georgia. Can you narrow down where in Northeast Georgia that you're looking at? Or
yeah, it's going to be. Right now, we're looking at the place called Enoto, which is west of Dillard, south of Blairsville, south of Hiawassee.
Okay.
It's got four waterfalls, five streams, 250 beds, 99 campsites, 33 RV connections, 10 acres of organic gardens.
Sounds like a fabulous place to be. Even without the conclave, it sounds like a fabulous place to be.
Yeah, when I first entered the property, there was a giant fairy holding the sign, "Welcome." I'm in a good place.
I think I'm going to like it here. So, again, I want to thank you, and I challenge everybody out there, ask everybody out there to help get the word out.
Let's make it fun and happen for everybody. We appreciate you so much.
And for those of you who want to contact me, remember you can go to ladyofthecircle.org. I'm all over Facebook. I've got a new Facebook page there called Raven's Nest Media. There will be links on the website soon. That has not happened yet. So keep up where I'm at. I thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Every single one of you for listening. It's because of you. And John, again, I want to thank you for being.
Thanks for the invitation. Appreciate it.
Everyone have a wonderful night. And remember that it's all about thought. It's all about we're evolving. Challenge everyone out there to as we evolve. Good night. And in all things, may you blessed be.
Thanks for listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Join us 7 nights a week for exciting programming covering a variety of expressions of faith. And remember, all manifestations of the divine are equally valid.